Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give it to me! Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And happy Friday. I know you need a Friday because I need a Friday. Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where, man, even in our little moleholes, the world keeps finding us no matter how hard we try.
Yeah, it's kind of impossible to escape the world this week. Our things are not going to be the usual lighthearted escape from reality, but they are definitely things.
Yeah, we are thrilled, as always, to be here with you. It is. I was just saying before the show started that it is already such a relief to be among the It's a Thing family, because it's just like kind of exactly the hug, the soft landing that I think we all need this week. But we cannot, although we often do, walk on by the real world. We can't do it this week. We can't do it.
We're gonna do it in our own way, though.
My
first thing, we'll do it by a little bit of a victory lap about Korean culture.
Yes!
I know. I've been the one kind of telling you, like, hey, you know, Korean drama, K-pop, mm-hmm. kimchi.
K-beauty.
Yeah, K-beauty.
All the good stuff.
Well, the K-pop stands started on Monday. I put this in the bullpen on Monday, and it only got better after that. On Monday, overwhelming a Dallas police app that asked for video of protesters with instead video of K-pop.
There were
also video of Animal Crossing. And this is video of protesters, not video of looters, not video of people breaking the law. It was asking for video of protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And to arrest, protesting. The K-pop stands flooded in, and it didn't end there. For the rest of the week, hashtags that people felt might not be in the best of intentions they summoned the K-pop army and said, hey, can you flood this with happy people singing instead of hate-filled spewing? And it happened.
It happened!
It's pretty amazing.
It is like the greatest... they're the greatest thing on the internet. Like, it's just so incredible because the power cannot be underrated. Like, I was talking about this on the other show. I was like, you don't understand that K-pop stans are the most powerful force on the internet.
I think there are other forces out there. Yeah.
But there aren't. And then I saw this incredible text where somebody, oh God, I have to find it and get it right because it was incredible. It was like somebody posted... The White House, I think, was like, President Trump's birthday. I mean, what were they thinking? President Trump's birthday is coming up. You can wish him a happy birthday and by sending him a personal video message. What could go wrong?
And honestly, if I were to get a K-pop fan cam as a video for my birthday, I'd be perfectly happy.
I would be stoked, yes. And so this guy, James Cobb, tweeted and he was like, how do I summon the K-pop stans? Hashtag... Jungkook, will that do it? Did I do it? Just like you put it out there. And then there's this like one response, Dioni-san. And it says, we got your message. And it's like, it's as thrilling as the end scene of an action movie when the, like, I mean, it's just like, uh-oh, here they come.
The icing on the cake for me was yesterday when Jordan Peele just tweeted heart emoji hashtag K-pop stands.
Like, I mean, seriously. Yeah. It is like incredible and so to life. And frankly, like there's something, I mean, I know that the day is going to come like 6 days from now when I'm going to click on like White Lives Matter or whatever. And it's going to be all the horrible stuff. But for now, It's like you can click without fear when you see these insane hashtags trending, and then you're like, oh, it's just a bunch of cute videos of K-pop.
Oh, look, it's Twice. It's Blackpink. Oh, it's BTS.
Yeah, totally.
It's Xinhua. And it's some IU.
And then some little message that's like, don't be so racist. I love it.
And I don't know, man. Like, that music is just so positive. And there are problems in the K-pop industry, like there are problems in every music industry. Don't we're not trying to sugarcoat it.
No, come on. But yeah, exactly.
But the spirit of the music itself is just so fun. I mean, go listen. Do yourself a favor. Go listen to Yellow Card by IU.
Okay, I'll be back.
It's wonderful.
Oh, not me.
I'll play it for you after the show.
Okay, please do, because it's so great.
It's just great. It's just wonderful.
It is so great. I'm going to switch the order of these for a minute and say that a thing that's been a thing for a long time, actually, is Black Twitter as its own specific entity and place for culture and learning and amazing stuff and just like interesting people and whatever. But now it's like, and actually this is something that might have been a thing otherwise, this idea of amplify, either, you know, amplify a good thing or try not to amplify a bad thing. That is a thing. And right now, there is this sort of like move afoot to amplify Black Twitter, to say like, these are the voices that you should be listening to right now, either because they're organizing protest or they're telling you like it is, or there is just like information to be had there that you can't get anywhere else. And on Tuesday, Jenny Josephson, known to our community by many, I think, producer extraordinaire, had this incredible... Because she's not the only one. It's so funny. Like, I know that Black Twitter became a thing because all these people I know were like, hey, who should I follow? Like, I don't follow enough Black voices on Twitter. Who should I follow? And it just so happens. And I, about 2 years ago or so, I did that. Like, I was like, DuckDuckGo, who should I follow on Black Twitter? And Jenny Josephson made, and we'll have this in the show notes, a great list on Tuesday. Just to be like, I am amplifying all these different voices. And I have to say, like, go follow all of them if you don't already. And if it isn't a thing that will add to your experience and your life, if you will learn or be challenged. And especially right now, like, it's just there are so many viewpoints and there's so much discomfort that has to, like, be felt. And I don't know. I think it's just easy. Like, you really realize your bubble when you step outside your bubble. So if you're in the bubble, just start following Black Twitter. You will learn a lot. You will cry a lot. You will get really angry. But I think it's like really amplify.
It's always important to be outside of your bubble, right?
Yeah.
And if up until now you just have been meaning to get around to following some different voices, this is a great time. There is not a better time to start.
Yeah.
Right?
Seriously.
Don't feel bad that you weren't before. Just do it now and go find some people. And this list is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You can also just...
And there are many others. Put it into Google.
Look around whatever your fan arena is in and look for those voices and go, well, wait, why wasn't I following that person? Why wasn't I following that person? Listen to the podcast, the TV shows, the actors, the directors, and say like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I guess I never thought about... looking into what that person said. I mean, I think that's just a good pattern to get into on social media. You will change your perception of Twitter, Facebook, etc. if you prune an ad, find different voices and add them, and prune the ones that are not helping.
Yep. Definitely prune the ones who are not helping. Yep. In the 2010s, The Guardian had this great article actually on the sort of like the force and the thing that is Black Twitter. They say a merciless watchdog for problematic behavior. But they quote this UVA professor, Meredith Clark, who says, like, this decade wouldn't be the same without Black Twitter. There's Oscar So White. There's police killings, of course. There are hashtags like Say Her Name. There's like the time when they got Kevin Hart to drop out of the Oscars. I mean, Black Twitter is a force. And a good way to just like listen.
It's a great way to listen and a good way to just be up on something and know about something, right?
Yeah. Yep. That too.
You've heard me talk about the Snob OS cast from time to time here. Mm-hmm. Might have mentioned the SMR podcast. I talked about the versus battles because I heard about it on Snob OS cast. The reason I knew about Snob OS cast was because I followed the SMR podcast. And the reason I followed the SMR podcast is a friend, Allison Sheridan, told me about their show because Allison was out there looking for other voices. Like, it cascades.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know those people, then I was able to do other things that I wouldn't have known. I'm like, who do I talk to? Oh, I know who to talk to because I met these other people. Like, it's really important to just start doing that.
Yep, exactly. Just listen now more than ever.
And read.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's my next thing, because this is a thing right now, are lists of books to read to educate yourself. On racism, on anti-racism, on privilege, and why privilege shouldn't be a bad word. It should be a word that you use to recognize something that you can use for good or ill. Mm-hmm. There's a great list that I was referred to by the Reading Glasses podcast on bookshop.org of just how to use your privilege to dismantle racism and white supremacy. One of the books I keep hearing over and over recommended is called White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo.
Yeah.
And there are loads of others on this list, and I'll have it in the show notes. But book lists are like, here are some things to read. And again, you don't have to take it as like, now you have to go do your homework, read all of these books and memorize them. It's, hey, if you want something to help you figure out what's going on and educate you about things you would otherwise not know about, here are some resources you might want to check out.
Yeah. Also, go do your homework. I mean, really, like, I think that it's actually okay to say that. I think it's okay for us to be like, so many people that I know right now are either like, I don't know what to do. I don't know the right thing to do. And then your tendency is to want to call your Black friend and ask, don't do that. And I feel defensive, or I feel confused, or I feel angry, or I feel this or whatever. There's a little bit of homework that you can do, and it's okay.
Yeah,
the White
Fragility
book is like
the reason I said it doesn't have to be homework is that as soon as you say that, people are go, oh, that sounds hard and I don't want to do it, even if they say it out loud, right? And it's like, do this as much as you need to, right? This isn't like a task that you have to check off, and hand it in. This is for your own good.
Okay, well, yes, that is true. But I do think that, like, it's easy not to do the work, and it's there to be done. And frankly, it will, like, look, if you're a fan of the things that we do, you're obviously the kind of person who likes to learn stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't have to see it as homework. You just have to see it as, like, evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the biggest advantage to these book lists going around is they're exposing resources that people just didn't know were there.
Yeah. Totally.
Or thought like, oh, that's what like academics read, right? That's what people who are into it read. Well, guess what? Like Molly's saying, we should all be into it.
Our other show, actually, Marketplace, had a story on how these books all, like, it was sort of both depressing and not depressing, because it was booksellers saying, oh yeah, this happens every time, right? Like every time that there's a shooting and a protest, for example, White Fragility pops to the top and everybody wants to buy it. But there's also like children's books. And actually all these booksellers were saying this does somehow feel different.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really interesting. There's that one. There's those lists. And then actually the one a friend gave me recently that I haven't started yet, it's called Born a Crime. And it's anyway, yeah. There's it. That one's going to be a little bit of homework. It's going to be a little work to get through because it's not like comfortable to read. But I think it's worth it.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah,
you're not reading these because you want something to pass away the afternoon.
Right, exactly.
These are not beach reads.
It's not hammock time. Yeah.
Now that said,
that's Trevor Noah's. I was thinking, Trevor Noah's is Born a Crime, which is a wonderful book, and my son read it and it was incredible. I'm thinking of a different one. Damn it, I'll try to remember the name of it. It's got a somewhat similar title.
In addition,
I'm so dumb. Anyway,
no, you're not, because you couldn't remember
so
a title.
Tired.
Yeah, I think we're all a little tired. I think you can pass. I think that one's forgivable.
Yes.
What I was going to add is that there is these lists are very helpful. There are also lists that are not that are beach reads. They are science fiction and fantasy. They are just fun stuff.
Yeah,
and by Black authors. And you know, there's lots of those lists out there too. And those are also good to look at and say like, oh, okay, well, maybe I haven't exposed myself to these authors who write great stuff. Slightly self-promoting or congratulatory or whatever, Sword and Laser. Veronica Belmont has been doing an amazing job of those kinds of posts on our Sword and Laser Instagram. Like, you know, here are Black authors to read. Some of them we've read for Sword and Laser, some of them we haven't. So look for those as well. And if you're like, oh, I'm not into science fiction and fantasy, look for them in romance. Look for them in thriller. Look for them in mystery. Look for them in anything. Look for music and movies and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Step outside the bubble now more than ever. And then slightly off topic, but I think is important because, like, I don't know about the rest of you, but I am upset and everybody is upset and people have been upset for a long time. And what I have noticed is that they are all turning to the same thing. And I know you think I'm going to say alcohol at this point, but I'm not. I'm actually going to say melatonin. America's sleep aid in these troubled times.
That's a good one.
Have you noticed this? Are you seeing this everywhere?
No, I haven't really noticed the uptick in the melatonin. Tell me about it.
Melatonin has been a thing for a long time. Yeah, it definitely was. It's been a thing, especially for like kids who can't sleep, because people were like, oh, it's like a vitamin. You know, I mean, it started to be a thing for jet lag.
Oh, and yeah. Then I've used it for jet lag. It works.
It works. I love it. I think it's amazing. And then it became a thing for kids who either had some version of ADHD or ADD or some kind of hyperactivity to help them sleep. And then I was always like, well, I keep it in the house just in case, but I don't want to like get to, I'm kind of a weird sleep purist. I'm a good sleeper and I don't want to screw it up. But honestly, these days, not only do I take it all the time, but I've like seen people tweeting about it constantly. Like, I think that everyone at this point is just like, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Tsubasa points out something good, because it is a supplement. You do want to make sure that, you know, maybe consult with your doctor what your dosage should be, because there's all kinds of milligrams out there and dosages. You want to get the right one. It's not particularly dangerous. It's not that kind of thing.
No, it's like a little vitamin type thing.
Yeah, but like anything, if you take it in the wrong amounts, it could have unanticipated effects. So, you know, that's just, your mileage may vary. That's normal behavior. But that said, yeah, at least in the United States, you can get it off the shelf. It's easy. It's easy to find.
We buy it in 1.5 milligram doses, like small, or 3 milligram, I think, stamped from the beginning. That's the book. Thank you, Lara. In the Discord. That's the one that basically is this like massive trying to dispel the idea. In the description is, some Americans cling desperately to the myth that we are living in a post-racial society. Probably not anymore. But for a while, people were.
Yeah, we were lied to as children. I don't know about you, but I was.
Oh, certainly. Well, and we also thought that, you know, the election of Barack Obama made everything better. I mean, we really did. We were just like, yeah, we're making a lot of progress. White Americans really did think that. And we weren't. And then we went way hard in the other direction.
Yes, since we're doing corrections, I called it Yellow Card. It's BB is the name of the song by IU that I mentioned earlier. She says Yellow C-A-R-D in the lyrics, but it's BBI.
BBI. Okay.
Beep, beep. Like beep, beep.
Yes. Cute. Oh, yeah. It's so cheerful. There are a bunch of K-pop songs on Beat Saber. My favorite in the world.
Nice.
in the extra packs. And it's like delightful. One thing about K-pop that I find kind of like jarring in an awesome way is that there's something about it where it's like when you can't quite hear a conversation. Like I keep thinking that it's English, but it's not. But I can't tell what they're saying.
Well, and they do throw in English words regularly.
And then they throw in English words regularly. And sometimes even entire, like one of the singers on a duo will be singing all in English. And so then it just creates this like brain, but it's like, it becomes like a hook, like a little brain teaser. Like when you eat tapioca and you're like, I think I hate this, but I keep doing it. It's just like that. It's so weird.
All right, let's get to your things. Samantha has thoughts listening to episode 114. Thought number one from Samantha on the millennial thing, and I realize I will sound like a millennial yelling at the wind. I had some feedback. I'm 37, and I'm at the leading end of the age group deemed millennial, and I've struggled with it the entire time because none of the stereotypes fit. Most of the people in my immediate age range feel exactly the same. So I was laughing when you specifically called out 37-year-old millennials yelling at Gen Z. I've been yelling at younger millennials instead, including my kid sister born in 1988. Yeah, that's the thing. On the individual level, the generation thing rarely works. Like, there's always exceptions.
Although that's hilarious.
Samantha also says, Phineas and Ferb do rock. I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old. We watched it when the 11-year-old was little and loved it. Then we got rid of cable and it went away. When Disney Plus came out, we started watching again and watch it all the time now. We are very much looking forward to the movie.
Oh, true story.
And then 3 of 3 from Samantha. Everything you talked about with getting through the summer is so true. There's no summer camp for my girls this year. Knowing how much money we're saving, not paying for camp, we asked the girls to put together wish lists for fun summer stuff to keep them occupied. Both a pool and a projector and screen were on their lists.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I know. I'm super sad. It's like 45 and windy outside. I was all excited to set up my screen.
Oh, really? It's 45?
June, oh, my gosh. Bloom has, well, no, it's like 60.
Okay, yeah, but it feels like 45.
Yeah. Fordo is also catching up, which is awesome. She says, sign of the times, out for a walk before curfew and listening to the podcast. I'm so behind, and I was looking at my usual serious news podcast that I'm just not into the mood to listen to tonight. Too emotionally tired with all the upheaval surrounding racial injustice. Apologies in advance, Fordo. And then she says, I saw It's a Thing and my heart leapt and my shoulders relaxed. I know you guys love doing this, but wanted you to know it was truly is an oasis in the desert for me tonight. I'm very much looking forward to my walks with you in the coming days. Coincidentally, yay, got a text about the new NYC curfew time just as I was taking a screenshot of the podcast to give you the visual. I was going to take a new screenshot, but thought, nah, this juxtaposition works tonight. Also, I still have a flash fidget spinner on my nightstand. Wow. My nephew doesn't even use it anymore. It's all me. Oh. And she says, thanks again, guys. So glad you're doing this podcast again.
Oh, we're thanks. Thank you for being here with the messages on the podcast again. It's like old times. Blurk, I can't even talk. Brian has some Cameron Mitchell love. Says, hey, Tom and Molly, I was delighted when you mentioned Space Mutiny in last week's episode, as it was one of my favorite episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000. In it, Cameron Mitchell plays the commander of a spaceship that looks nothing like the 1978 version of Battlestar Galactica. Wink. He has a puffy white beard and the Santa jokes are great.
Oh, my goodness. You guys really do know everything. That is amazing. And then Brian is getting his drink on and says, I just wanted to send along a thank you for the new tip on butterfly pea flower tea. Here's my drink of butterfly pea flower tea cubes, lemonade, and absolute citron vodka. And by the way, it is beautiful.
It's layered.
Oh, my God. That's the so ice cool. cubes. That is so smart.
Yeah. I love that.
Because as the cubes melt, then they get all then purple. They change. It's a purple swirl.
Oh, good job.
Oh, that's good work, incredible. Ryan. That is incredible.
All right, folks. Normally the shout outs are the highlight of the show, and we understand that, and we will force Rich to continue to be amazing and create them. But this week, Rich had the idea that maybe we donate funds from the shout out patrons to the Color of Change organization.
Yeah.
So we'll give the shout outs to Eric Duncan, Andrew, Esther Pena, Brad Sparks, Gabriel Cohen, Jake Woods, Louis St. Amour, and Mike Akins. But we're going to take that funding for this week and add it to Color of Change. Now, if you want to be in on that, don't change to shout out level, because next week that won't happen. you would be doing it for the wrong reason. Just give directly to Color of Change. If you're like, oh, I want to do that too, just go give them the money directly. And tell folks a little bit about what Color of Change is.
Yeah, Color of Change is basically they design campaigns. Like, they advocate in media where everything's, right? Social media campaigns, actual like brand campaigns, media. They fund like Blavity, which is a black media site, and advocate for direct action and racial justice.
So go check it out, colorofchange.org, and help them out if you can.
Yep. And or anywhere you want to go, right?
Like, yeah, right. To absolutely.
Any racial justice organization you want right now. But yes, they also do like petitions and things like that, like rent freezes and moratorium on evictions in the or when it was just pandemic advocacy, racial justice advocacy group. Boy, things have really changed on It's a Thing today. But thanks for bearing with us, you guys. We really appreciate it. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for supporting it on Patreon, anywhere else. It is the best part of the week. It's the best part of the week, even when it's real.
Yeah. These were legitimate things. This is what the world is this week. It's a Thing just reflects it. And we get that reflection from you. So keep emailing us your things. Feedback at itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye. Get politicians to take that high.
Just be a rhythm. When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.